If you would this morning, turn me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and over the last several months, on various Sundays, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We haven't gone through them one by one, but we've been looking at these individually over several different weeks. And today, I want to do that again. And we're down to about two or three of these left that we want to look at. We've been looking at them individually. And in Galatians 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Earlier in the chapter, back in verse 16, Paul said, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." That verse tells me that the fruit of the Spirit is not something that is automatic. The fruit of the Spirit is not something that just flows from you in a supernatural way. The fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It is fruit that comes forth as a result of being saved. And of course, people can imitate that, but true fruit comes about as the Spirit of God produces that fruit in the life of the individual. Now, thus far, we've looked at love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and then last time we looked at goodness. Today, we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, faith. And that is one that, how many messages could you do on faith? It's something that's hard to cover in just one message, and yet we're going to do that. And we're going to look at some things about faith. And I want to remind you that as we've looked at this fruit of the Spirit, that the one thing that has really stood out to me is that on every one of these we've looked at thus far, the fruit of the Spirit that's listed there is also an attribute of God that you can find clearly in the Scriptures. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. All of those things, we looked in the Scriptures and we saw specific verses that indicated, that showed, that those fruits are also attributes of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. Now you get down to faith and people say, well, how would you say that God had faith? Well, I know that the Bible has a lot to say about the faith of Christ. And so we know that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are inseparable. And so when we have the fruit of the Spirit, it really equates to us allowing the life of Christ to live through us. Look back, if you will, in Romans chapter 3. In Romans 3, there are, I believe, five times in the Bible specifically that the faith of Christ is referred to. And sometime, well, let me read the verse first. Romans chapter 3, Romans 3, verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Notice now. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Now, sometimes people will take that phrase, the faith of Christ, and they'll do certain things to it because they don't really believe the faith of Christ is in the context in which it's written. For example, sometimes some of the Bible translations, as a matter of fact, will say by faith in Christ. And then other times, the faith of Christ will be referred to as the faithfulness of Christ. Well, no one could deny the fact that Christ was faithful. No one could deny the fact that God is faithful. But the faith of Christ, that phrase is used for a very specific reason and a very specific purpose. It indicates something in relation to Christ, in His coming to the earth and dying on the cross for our sins. Thus the Bible says, the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ. Look over in Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now that verse is very specific, that we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. And he says it twice, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now why is that phrase used? And what does it really mean? And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want us to look at faith as one of the fruit of the Spirit. But I want you to see that it is, again, an attribute of the Trinity, an attribute of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. The faith of Christ, and to put it very simply, I believe is this. The Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory and took upon himself the form of a servant. I do not believe that Jesus Christ divested himself of his deity, as some teach. I believe Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But it is apparent when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that the Lord Jesus Christ willingly gave up some of the attributes of the deity in order to identify himself with man. For example, when they asked Jesus Christ about the return, he said, "No man knoweth, not even the Son of Man knows the time." He said, he prayed to the Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done." You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen, this doesn't take away from the deity of Christ. To me, the things that I believe about the faith of Christ give me a greater and deeper appreciation for Christ coming to this earth and dying for our sins. For when Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived for 33 years and died on that cross, before he died, he prayed, "Father, restore unto me the glory that I had with you before the foundation of the world." Well, what if God hadn't have done that? Apparently, the Lord Jesus Christ had relinquished voluntarily some of the powers equated with the Godhead because he prayed for the Father to do that which needed to be done. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth to die for our sins, to be identified with mankind, believing that God would raise him up and restore unto him the glory that he had before the foundation of the world. That's what the faith of Christ is about, folks. And that ought to make us appreciate the fact that one who created all things was willing to step down from heaven's glory and trust the Father to restore unto him the glory that he had before the foundation of the world. He died for our sins. He died on that cross, and God raised him from the dead, and today he's seated at the right hand of God. So the faith of Christ has to do, it goes beyond simply the faithfulness of Christ. It goes beyond simply faith in Christ. It is the faith of Christ. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not something you must, you just are able to muster up. What is the source of faith? Well, go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And you know, this verse right here, I never really thought about it until this week when I was preparing this. You know, we talk about a lot about the Word of God and the Spirit of God not being one and the same, but being synonymous in the sense of their work. In other words, the Spirit of God, I believe, speaks to you through the Word of God. Now, you think about this. If faith is a fruit of the Spirit, Romans 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then could you have faith apart from the Word of God? No. But it's a fruit of the Spirit. You see, the Word and the Spirit work together. And so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, back there in the Old Testament, we were talking about this morning about Adam and Eve, and Sunday school had a good discussion there. But we were talking about Adam having told Eve some things that God told him. The Bible says that by faith, Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice, doesn't it? Well, if faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, somebody told Abel what kind of sacrifice to bring. How do I know that? Because by faith he brought the sacrifice. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So faith is not something you muster up. It's not something that you see, when a person is lost, for example, they hear the gospel of the grace of God. When they hear the gospel of the grace of God, they at that point can exercise their free will to either believe that and receive the free gift of salvation, or they can reject it. If they believe it, the Word brings forth fruit. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after what? You heard the word of truth, the gospel. Nobody ever got saved apart from the gospel. You know, there's been a email exchange going on the internet there, one of these circle things that I'm part of. And the big question is, was Cornelius in the body of Christ? Well, you know, doesn't really matter. I am. I know I am. But here's the thing. In the response to that, my take was that if you can show me where Cornelius ever heard the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, then I would believe that he's in the body of Christ. Because nobody gets in the body of Christ without believing the gospel of Christ. I see where Cornelius, where Peter said he preached unto him the same things that were preached after the baptism of John, and so I have to believe he was in that kingdom church. But the point I'm trying to make is this. The Bible is clear. He said, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. If you're here this morning, the gospel is this. Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. If you're here, I said if you're here, you're here. If you're here lost this morning, I hope you're, some of you don't look like you're here. You're out there. You're down there at the buffet already. No, I'm just kidding. If you're here lost, this is the gospel. The gospel is Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. Romans 1:16 said the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Now you just heard the gospel. That's the gospel of your salvation if you will receive it. It's just the gospel if you've never trusted Christ, if you've never received it. When you receive that message, believe it and accept it, it becomes the gospel of your salvation at that point. But you know what had to take place before that? It says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the truth, folks. That's where our faith comes from. And it is the faith in the gospel of Christ that saves. That's why we put so much emphasis upon preaching the gospel. That's why at the end of this service, I will not give an invitation for you to walk down the aisle. Why? Because, listen, you could get saved sitting right where you are just as easy as you could down here. Probably more easy. Because when I was 12 years old, I was convinced that walking down front, filling out the card, was salvation. But when I got saved, I was sitting right back here on about the fourth pew on this side, listening to a message be preached. You see, the reason we don't give an invitation, I just gave you the invitation a moment ago. I told you how to be saved. Say, but certainly there's got to be more to it than that. There is no more to it than that. Christ died for you. When he hung on that cross, God placed all your sin upon him. He became your sin. He's forgiven you all trespasses. And now your part is simply believing that. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. You've heard the truth of the gospel. You can either accept it or reject it. If you accept it, then it becomes the gospel of your salvation. And according to the verse, you're sealed unto the with that Holy Spirit of promise. It's the earnest of our inheritance of the redemption of the purchased possession. So the source of faith is God's word. You say, well, I just don't have enough faith. Get your nose in the book and read it. That's where faith comes from. Say, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, it is the fruit of the Spirit. But you know, all those other things that are fruit of the Spirit are things that you have to consciously allow the Lord to produce in your life. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering. You're not just born feeling those things or experiencing those things. It's the fruit of the Spirit, and that faith has to do the fruit of the Spirit. The faith that comes forth by you having the Spirit is a result of your obedience to the Word of God. So there's the source of faith. Then there is saving faith. In Ephesians here, and look in verse chapter 2. We've just talked about this, so we won't spend long on this. But in Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, you see. Now, when we talk about the faith of Christ, sometimes I believe people go a little far with that because they make it sound as though your faith is not important. Listen, your faith is important. But it's not faith you muster up within yourself. Your faith is your, you know what real faith is? It's your willingness to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you're willing to believe it, it's going to produce faith in you. If you're not, it's not. Same with salvation. If you're willing to believe it, you're going to be saved. If you're not willing to believe what the Bible says about salvation, you're going to end up lost and eternally damned. Look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see, our faith is in what he did. Our faith is in what he said. And, you know, the reason that we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth is because the gospel of your salvation is not the same as the gospel of Israel's salvation. Why, Acts 2.38, Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. In Acts 3.19, he said, repent and be converted, your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You see, they're looking forward to the coming of Christ, the new covenant, when God will establish that covenant with them, blot their sins out. You know what Paul said about ours? He said, you have now, present, received the atonement. If you've trusted Christ, you're already one with him. All of your sins are forgiven. They're under the blood of Jesus Christ. God was in him reconciled, not imputing them to you. They're forgiven. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, watch, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. the fruit of the Spirit is faith. Not faith in what man says. He says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Spirit and of power. You see, today the tendency is that people want preachers to tell them what they want to hear. It's easy for us to want to listen to something that makes us feel good about ourselves. I read this past week about a prominent evangelist that said that they were reading through the Bible and said it made them feel so bad about themselves, they quit reading the Bible. Person's going to be speaking here in Chattanooga pretty soon. I'm not going to call any names. If you come afterwards, I'll tell you. But this famous evangelist that's on TV, thousands of people turn out to hear him, made that statement. I quit reading my Bible because it made me feel so bad about myself. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. You see, it's real easy for people to want to go and listen to something that soothes their conscience and makes them feel good about themselves. Well, you know what makes me feel good about myself? To know I'm complete in Christ. To know that God's Spirit dwells in me and I'm sealed in the day of redemption. And I know that every day of my life, God desires for me to allow His life to live through me. But I also recognize that I'm walking around in a body of sinful flesh. And we're to walk in the Spirit so that we're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, faith is what we believe. It's what we're willing to believe. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. But faith is just not something that's produced supernaturally. It's something that comes by our consistent focus upon the Word of God. So they're saving faith. Paul said in Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. By faith. Then there is the faith that we're to live by. Look back in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. There's saving faith. And then there's what we could call operational faith. We walk by faith. The Bible says, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by sight. Then you know what that tells me? If you want to know what the opposite of faith is, it's sight. It's that which you can see. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you can see it and experience it, it doesn't take any faith. It might take some trust. You know, like the man that walks across the high wire with a wheelbarrow. And you see that, and he says, you believe I can do that again? And he said, you say, yeah, I believe it. I've seen you do it a dozen times. And he said, well, then get in the wheelbarrow. That's trust. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live how? By faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1. Verse 23. Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. You see, folks, why is it we stand? We talk about that a lot. You know, taking a stand for the Word of God, standing for the gospel, the grace of God. It's by faith that we stand. Paul said, for this cause I receive mercy. Well, the cause is the preaching of the gospel of the grace of God. The cause is of proclaiming the truth of the Word of God so that people can see themselves in light of the Word of God. If all people ever hear is about how good they are, what need is there to be saved? But the Bible declares there is none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible is like a mirror. It shows us who we are and what we are, both before and after we're saved. You see, some people just always want to focus on what they were before. People want to talk about, you know, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a poor, wretched sinner. Oh, no. Yeah, that's true. That's who you are in the flesh. But, you know, equally you need to focus on who you are in Christ. A saint of the Most High God, redeemed, a new creature in Christ. God wants us to operate on the basis of who we are in Him and not on the basis of who we were prior to being in Him. And so our faith needs to grow. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. But again, it comes forth as a result of us allowing the Spirit to have control, to have dominion in our life rather than the flesh. Look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 14, for we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Well, then your faith can be increased. You know what increases the output of fruit on most fruit trees? Proper nutrition, watering, pruning. I'll tell you, you can just start off with this thing about the fruit, and you know we've done it several times. When the first message I preached on here, we didn't look into specific fruit. We just looked at fruit in general. And there are so many analogies that can be drawn. I mentioned to you, I think I did, but maybe it was another time, but you know, fruit trees, in order to be productive, they have to be pruned. I remember the first time I ever went and helped somebody prune trees. I was about 12 years old. We were down in Alabama, in near Clanton, Alabama. If you ever go down I-65, you'll see a place down there called Peach Park. And right out beyond that are just thousands and thousands of acres of peach trees. We lived in Wetumpka, Alabama. We were in Wetumpka, Alabama at that time. And my dad, on a Saturday morning, we drove out, and he said, we're going out to, somebody said, I don't remember who, one of my cousins, and they're going to help them prune trees. And so they started, and they had these lopper things, little hand things, and he said, now, we come up to here, you cut, so forth, and he did the first one, and there's all the stuff around there, and I'm thinking, he has just ruined this tree. Pretty trees, nice, big, full trees, and he's cutting all this wood off. And he explained to me, he said, and all of us that were there, he said, listen, if you don't prune the tree, pretty soon you'll have no fruit. You know what, folks? I think our life is like that. There's things in our life that need to be pruned. They need to be cut away. They need to be removed because they might be hindering the fruit bearing. And sometimes we just get too brushy because we don't want to cut anything away. That fruit tree had to be fertilized. It had to be watered. Paul said his desire for those at Corinth was that their faith would be increased, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now notice, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, Paul had not met the Colossians personally, apparently, from what he says in several places here, but he had heard about them. And he says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then he goes right into warning them about some things you're going to have to beware of. And as he says in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. Now you know what that tells me? That tells me that Paul had heard about these people getting saved, and that they were settled in the gospel. Back in chapter 1, he says there in verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, and the love which you have to all the saints. So Paul had heard about them being saved. He had heard that they were steadfast, they were not being moved away, they were trusting in what Christ did for them. But then when you continue to read chapter 2, and we're not going to do it because of time's sake this morning, he begins to warn them about some impending dangers of false doctrine. Like, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and so forth. So the point is this. He said, I am joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And then he says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. How do you receive Him? Through faith. How do you walk in Christ Jesus? Through faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. God produces faith in the believer by that individual hiding the Word of God in their heart, taking the Word of God in so that it can produce faith, and we can walk by faith, and we can stand by faith, and our faith can continually be increased. That's what helps us to stand, as Paul had said back there to the Corinthians. For by faith you stand. You get weary. You get where it doesn't seem like it's worth it anymore. Get in the Word of God. That'll increase your faith. By faith, those of old did wonderful and miraculous things. But they did them because of not their power of their flesh, but by faith. That faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank God this morning that we have the Word of God, the Spirit of God, indwelling us, producing this fruit. We don't have to do it on our own. What we have to do is yield to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill, he said, the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and they're contrary one to the other. And in the power of your flesh, you can never do what God desires and be pleasing unto Him. But in the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you can. And you can stand for the truth and be faithful till He comes again. We walk by faith, not by sight. If you're here this morning lost, you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. How? By faith. Just receive what He did as a free gift and trust Him. And then allow that faith to grow and to multiply and to encourage and to cause you to allow His life to live through you. Would you stand with me for prayer?